So you're a futurist, but do you ever look back into the past as well? Do you look back at, you know, the Egyptians? I know you've done some work on the pyramids before. Do you take a look at that?
I normally don't. The way it works with me is that if I go someplace, an example is, and I cover this in my book, I had a series of visions showing me Egypt, the Sphinx, and just pictures along the Nile. And it went on for the longest time period, every night. And then finally, after about, I don't know if it was a couple of weeks or 3 weeks of every night seeing these visions, I woke up one morning and I said to Cynthia, I said, look it, I said, I think we need to go to Egypt. And she said, all right, let's go. and literally within, you know, within a week, I think, you know, we had tickets and, you know, and a destination. We had a place in Cairo to stay. That was it. We had a hotel and we had transportation there. And when I got there, the dreams and the visions really started to fire off. And so, of course, when in Egypt, you want to go see the Sphinx and the Great Pyramid. And I remember I went over to the Great Pyramid, and, you know, you get your ticket to go in. And I remember, you know, going inside, and there's lots of people, you know, standing in line to go inside this pyramid. And I went in, and there was a guide there, and he looks at me, and he says, and he waves me to come on, so I come on. And then he puts his hand up to stop the line behind me. And I'm thinking that because it's a narrow passage where you have to climb a long distance to get up to the king's chamber, and you almost have to hunch over to get up this long path, and if you're claustrophobic, you don't want to be in there. And so I just thought that. So I'm walking, and I'm looking back, and I don't see any people. So I said, well, maybe he just waits a while. So I get up, and I'm in the king's chamber. There's nobody up in there. I'm the only one. And while I'm there, you know, all of a sudden there was a flash of light, and everything I saw now was, you know, just clearest vision as I was looking at anything. But instead of looking at the granite walls in the king's chamber, mm-hmm. I am now looking at the construction of the building itself. And that continued for what later found out about 20 minutes. And I never have a vision that long. Usually they're measured in seconds, and occasionally there might be a minute, but never this long. And no one came up. And so I turned around and I went back down, and I looked at him, and he smiled at me, and he hugged me, and then the other people started going up. Have no idea what that was about. To this day, I have no idea why that happened. But I watched the construction, and it answered so many questions of the why and the who, and, you know, it was just this amazing thing, and more importantly, what it was used for. What was the purpose of it? You know, it wasn't a tomb. That was the main thing that I walked away from.
Was it a power plant?
No, it was. It was a kind of like an observatory, but observatory with the same technology I was just talking about, being able to see the stars without having to go there. It was. I guess if we had to identify it today, we would call it an out-of-body machine that allows you to literally go to other stars in your astral body and literally visit other places, other stars, when the time is right.
But did you have to be in the pyramid in order to do this?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there was a bunch of machinery inside of it that had to be tuned. So it's all stripped out of there now, but the instrumentation and the great lens that was there was a huge lens, probably the size of a Volkswagen, that's size-wise, but there was this massive lens that moved up and down this chamber, the ascending passageway.
What was that used for?
It was
to focus out or to focus in.
It was to do both. You tuned it, and it was able to tune using the Earth's vibrations. So the thing that powered it was not an external source, but it was the Earth itself. So the thing resonated to the Earth's vibration. That gave it its power. And then once that power was in it, the large crystal's carriage would move up and down to tune or focus, again, when the time was right, when the alignments were correct between certain planets and stars and us. And once that was in alignment, then the priest and whoever the initiates would be at that time would be able to take these journeys. So you would literally journey and full consciousness to these other places. And so, you know, it would be akin to going to the finest university in the world and learning mind development. And this one temple allowed communications, and it also allowed an exchange of knowledge, and it also allowed people to ascend, if you will, go to a higher state of consciousness. So it was kind of like a final exam for students around the world who were ready to see if they were ready to take the journey. And that would prove that you were ready. You'd be a priest, and in which case you could then teach and do others.
All right, you saw the construction in your vision. How did they move those blocks?
There were several ways of doing it. They had airlifting devices. They kind of looked like blimps, if you will, but they again were longer. And so these things were quarried far away, and they were brought up underneath a carriage. I can see these huge balloons bringing them up, moving up the Nile. So they weren't by barges, but they'd come up, and then these things would hover, and they would literally lower them into place. So it wasn't a case of ramps or slaves, but that was one way of getting them from the quarry. Now, once they were on the site, they used a levitation device, which basically was a instrument that imparted an incredible electrostatic charge to the finished block. So a 2-ton block, once it was, I'll call it ignited, once it was tapped with a rod, it was called a rod of light. Once it was tapped, electrostatic field would levitate it a few inches off the ground, and then literally a child could just move it, just push it, and they could push it up into place. And there they did have ramps to just move it into the position. So it was never a case of lots of people lifting things, more of the logistics of getting the stones from the quarry there and getting the stones moved into position and placed in position.
Were they Egyptians who built the pyramid, or was there some extraterrestrial help here?
There was extra help, but that help had been here before. I mean, they had come from before. Consciousness was much different at that time. There were several people on the planet at that time that really came from the stars, took physical form, but were aware of all their incarnations, not only on Earth, but other places. So they were highly developed, and there were several of them at that time. And they worked. So the Atlanteans had developed the technology and to do all this. And then the Egyptians, along with other cultures, provided the labor force to produce it.